So last week, we looked at the heart of the gospel. Really, that was God. God came. And this week, I just want to look at the heart of the gospel, which is our heart, our response to God coming. And I'm going to just take a story at the 9th chapter of John. We were in the 8th chapter last week. It's a story about a kind of salt-of-the-earth guy. Hopefully someone you could relate to. And, And God met him, and he responded. So I'm just going to read this to you. It's the whole of the 9th chapter of John 9. And it says, as Jesus went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You'll see that in this chapter there's lots of questions. It starts with a question to Jesus and it finishes with a question by Jesus. So the question that Jesus asks at the end, he's going to ask us all. Okay? But firstly, it starts with a question to Jesus. And as you go through, you'll just see loads of questions. And the thing about questions, when we read the scripture, God always probes our heart, asking a question. And when Jesus gets asked a question, you discover his heart. So here's the question, a kind of theological question about sin and blindness. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it's today, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. And his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed it was he, and others said, no, it only looks like him. I haven't read on, have I? You've done it, well done. But he insisted, I am the man, it's me. How then were your eyes open, they asked. He replied, the man called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and I washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who'd been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Quite fun to ask how many times he gets asked this question and how many times he gives the same reply. He put mud on my eyes. I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees says, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It's your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. They still do not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son, they said? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it he can now see? We know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age, he'll speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had already decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That is why his parents said, he's of age, ask him. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I've told you already, you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out, which means they put him out of the synagogue. They put him out of social contact with other people. He was now cast out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" That's the question Jesus asks. "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I've come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard him saying this and asked, "What are we blind to?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." What an amazing story. Isn't it? I've just read it and reread it and read it and reread it and reread it. Just go on reading it, just saying, "Lord, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, isn't it?" One of the most, if not the most famous Christian song, "How amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found." Want to finish it for me? "Was blind, but now I see." Amazing grace. How do you now see? How do you see? "Jesus anointed my eyes." Is that the only way you can see Jesus? Is that the only way you can see the truth? Yeah, it's the only way. The one who formed me, if you were here last week, you remember I explained how God kind of came down to make man, that with his fingers from the mud, he fashioned man out of the mud, out of the clay, and he made man. And then he came down and breathed into man, and man became a living being. And I explained how when Jesus came down, he came down even further. He became man. He didn't come to make man. He became man. And how he kind of went on coming down. He came down from heaven to earth, but then he took upon himself the likeness and form of a man. And he didn't just take on the like a form of a man. It says, and he humbled himself and became a servant. And he became obedient as a servant. And he came, you know, to the death of the cross. And it's like in his life, Jesus just came down and down and down and down that he might lift us up. And because he humbled himself so much, it says that God lifted him up, raised him up, and gave him a name that is above every other name. And we've just been singing this morning, haven't we? Be high and lifted up. God has high and lifted him up. But Jesus didn't do things ever kind of for the fun of it, although you might be tempted to think that he did. And I think he laughed sometimes, but he spat in the mud. Yeah? So where does kind of water and mud come together, guys? So let's go back. So Genesis 2, verse 5, now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth. There's no one to work the ground, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the land. So there's the kind of the water, yeah? Covering the land. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils. So I think Jesus is giving a huge reminder of who he is by spitting in the ground and making the mud and then putting it on the man's eyes and saying, now go and wash. So he was blind. And now he's seeing. And so he healed a blind man. So you might say, what are that? Well, go through all of the Hebrew writings. Incredible miracles happened, didn't they? Can someone tell me some of the miracles in the Hebrew writings? Okay, the Red Sea was opened, yeah? So they fed them for 40 years with manna. So they gave them water from a rock. So the leper was healed. The dead was raised. But you won't ever read of a blind man receiving his sight or a man born blind, because the sign of the Messiah coming, one of the foremost signs was recovery of sight to the blind. And so Isaiah says these words, say to those who are with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened. And they knew this scripture, your God will come, then the eyes of the blind will be opened. It was the sign of God coming, all right? So, and this was a miracle that he didn't kind of do in a sort of small place. So the man who was blind told his friends and neighbors, or they said, how did it happen? And then they took him to the Pharisees and said, how did it happen? And every time it was the same reason, the man called Jesus, he anointed my eyes. He told me to wash, the man called Jesus. Isaiah 42 says these words, I'll make you a covenant to be a covenant for the people, to open the eyes that are blind. And when John the Baptist got a bit down, sent a message to Jesus, are you the coming one? Jesus says, go back and tell John what you hear. The blind receive their sight. It's always first, the blind receive their sight. It's the sign of Messiah that the blind will receive their sight, both in a spiritual and in a physical dimension. So this is the clear sign that Jesus is God has come. This is the clear sign that he's here. And so as I mentioned, I've gone over this story and asking God to open it up to me, but I'm just going to share a little bit from my heart and then maybe you'll get something as well. But the heading is your heart, your response. So many people say, you know, all that I brought to the Lord when I became a Christian was my sin. You know, there's nothing that I could do, but God kind of did everything. All I brought was my mess, all right? And there's a lot of truth in that, because none of us can sort of glory in the fact that we kind of did something for us to be saved. It says, by grace, which is God's unmerited favor and love and mercy, you were saved through faith. And that wasn't from you. It was the gift of God anyway. So us finding God is kind of all God and not us. And yet, in the mystery and the love and grace of God, there is something in me that has to respond to him. There's something in me that has to say, yes, I believe. There's something that has to open my heart. And this story is just an incredible picture of that, of the eyes being opened, but also the heart being opened. How wide we choose to open our heart is something of a mystery. But it seems we have something of a part to play. And at the end of the story, Jesus says to the blind man, do you believe in the Son of Man? He asked him that question. He puts him right on the spot. He wants him to come all the way into relationship with himself. So, many questions in this story, and some of them show a kind of open mind, and some of them show a closed mind. Some of them kind of living under limitations, and not making any room for God. But the heart of the gospel is that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. God has come into our world. And he's entered into our closed system of thinking. And he's brought in God possibilities. So when the angel spoke to Mary, that she would have birth to a son, and you called his name Jesus, he ended this, Gabriel said this, with God, And I'd like to finish this off for me. With God, nothing shall be impossible. All right? With God, nothing shall be impossible. So I'm breaking in. God is breaking into our world, breaking into our thinking. This is what the incarnation of Jesus is coming about. God has broken in and opened up all sorts of new possibilities. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Right. So never has a man been born blind. How then do you now see? So the first question they asked Jesus was this. Who sinned? You know, it's a kind of theological question. Who sinned? There must be a reason for this man being born blind. Did he sin or did his parents sin? And do you remember last week they kind of tried to engage Jesus on a theological debate about whether this woman should be stoned or not? And they're trying to get him again. They're trying to get him into a kind of, let's debate why this person's blind. Let's kind of try and analyze it, rationalize it. Is it his fault or is it parents' fault? And again, Jesus is not going anywhere near that discussion. He's saying no. See if I got it up here. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened that the works of God might be displayed in him. And as long as it's day, we must do the work of him who sent me. So then he spat on the ground, made the mud, and said, go and wash. So what was Jesus' response to why is this guy blind? It was, actually, it's why I'm here. He says, I have come to do the works of him who sent me. And it's day. Night is coming when you can't work, but now's the daytime. So he wasn't looking at the blind man in a kind of closed, fixed way, but in an open way. And that kind of says, God has come. I am the Messiah. The signs of the Messiah is the blind shall see. And so God's possibilities now have entered into man's system. The disciples were kind of thinking in a closed way that blindness had kind of come in as a result of sin and creation's been marred and it's got blindness in it and we're kind of living with that. But Jesus says, no, God has come. God is still working and I must do the works of him who sent me. So then he did something that was outside this closed system. He kind of made this mud and the spittle and the clay and he put it on his eyes. And that takes us straight back again to the creation story. So what happened on the seventh day? God rested. Creation is finished. All right? So God, on the seventh day, and what day of the week is Jesus doing this? So why did Jesus seem to do his miracles on the Sabbath? Has any kind of thought about it? Was it really just to annoy the Pharisees? Was it to wind them up? Yeah? There was a need. Was he just demonstrating the deep meaning of Sabbath? Or was he actually saying, God's still working? God is still working. So on the seventh day, God rested, having finished all of his works. Jesus comes, seventh day, he seems to be quite active. He never says to somebody, come back tomorrow. And how many miracles did he seem to do on the Sabbath? Why was he doing so many miracles on the Sabbath? Because he said, my Father is working, and I am also working. So there's something about maybe there's a new creation that's just broken into the world. Maybe he's the beginning of something brand new. Maybe the old creation has kind of coming to a bit of a close. So that if any man is Christ, he's now a new creation. He's entered into a new birth. He's been born again of the Spirit of God. There's a new kingdom that is now breaking in. There's a new dynamic. There's a new authority, as it were. That the cross is like is going to be the end of an old order and the beginning of a new order. That there's a new creation that and him just putting that mud on his eyes, signifying this is a new creation. God is at work. God has broken into this closed system. As long as it's still today, we must do the works of him who sent me. My Father is always at his work to this very day. This man cannot be from God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. My Father is always at work. Yeah? Isn't that tremendous? Yeah, okay. Creation, is not finished. God is at work. The new birth is here. He says these words, whoever obeys my word will never see death. He's come out of the old, he's come into the new. My flesh is the life of the world. Whoever believes in me has eternal life, will not be judged, but is crossed from death into life. I've come that you might know the truth. The dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and live. He's begun something. There's a new order. The Son of God has broken in. The kingdom of God is here. Yeah? Everyone happy with that so far? This is quite significant, actually, that Jesus has come and done something really significant, really new. Just in coming, he's broken the order that death and sin and death and sin and death has gone from Adam all the way down to Jesus. And now it's life and life and life. The Son of God has come that you might have life. Yeah? He's broken in. He's changed the system. He's opened it up. Yeah? He is the full and final revelation of the Father. He's not stopped revealing himself. The Holy Spirit will take a mind and disclose it to you. It's now become an open system, as it were, for those in Christ Jesus. Jesus has opened heaven unto us. The kingdom of God has broken into this world. And we're part of that. So, that's pretty much it. I'm just bringing it together then. So the blind man has been healed. And his neighbors say to him, aren't you the same one who used to sit in bed and beg? And people knew he'd been blind from birth because obviously he used that as a kind of begging technique, really. So some claimed he was. Others says, no, he only looks like him. But he himself says, I am the man. So this challenge is right. Who he is, how he was healed. How were your eyes healed? Okay. And he replied, the man they call Jesus. Do you notice his progression? The man they call Jesus. All right? And then they say, who do you say he is? He's a prophet. And then the next time he gets challenged, he says, he's come from God. And the last time he says, I believe you're the Son of Man. You're God's Son. You've come into the world. So God kind of took him by the hand and led him each step of that way into a revelation of who Jesus is. All he can say, though, at this stage is what he knows. I am the man. He told me to wash, I washed, and now I see. So he got taken to the Pharisees. And they said he can't be from God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath. Now, what do you think of that logic? He can't be from God because he doesn't think the same way that we think. He can't be from God because he doesn't do what I want him to do. Yeah? He can't be from God. And it's quite easy for us to say that sometimes, isn't it? When something happens we're not comfortable with or was unusual with, and I'm really trying hard that my first reaction when I hear something is a good one. And it's not, this can't be of God. All right? So we look at something because of the fruit of it. Yeah? Yeah? Yeah. And we don't look at something because it doesn't fit with what we think. And then, of course, they call his parents because they didn't accept his testimony. So they've heard his testimony. They've heard his parents' testimony. And they don't like the answer because if what they're hearing is true, then God has come. And if God has come, then their whole order kind of needs to change. But the parents were saying, you know, they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. So they kind of said, yeah, he's our son, but you can ask him yourself because he's old enough. And you notice what fear does? It keeps us in a closed system. It keeps us really bound. It keeps us not being the person that God's called us to be. But if the eyes of the blind being opened is a key sign of the Messiah, and then is the evidence before us, then we need to respond. And so at the end they begin to hurl insults at him. And they said to him, you were utterly born in sin. You notice where the story started. Who sinned, this man, that he's born blind? And Jesus said, you're in the wrong zone. And because they didn't like what he said, they finished with this condemnation. You're just a sinner. You just don't know what happened. But his testimony was always the same. Once I was blind, now I see. So, Jesus did not condemn him. Jesus, when they put him out, he went to find him. How many times do we read that in the scripture, that Jesus went and found the person that was healed? So Jesus heard that they'd thrown him out, and when he'd found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? And that's the question he kind of asks us, not just when we find him, as it were, for the first time, but he asks us that question every day, in a sense, doesn't he? Do you believe in who I am? Do you believe that I am the chosen, the anointed, the commissioned Son of God? And the man says, who is he, sir? Tell me that I may believe in him. And Jesus said, you've now seen him, which is the miracle, that he could actually see him, but he could see him twice, as it were. In fact, he's the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believed. And then something happened that rarely does happen, that he worshipped him. Now, what did that look like? This hitherto beggar, blind man, face to face with Jesus, he now understands that Jesus is the Son of Man, which means that he is the appointed heir of the universe. He's the one that approaches, in Daniel's prophecy, approaches the throne of God, and he's given the nations, he's given everything to rule and to reign. And he says, I believe that you're that one. You're the chosen, the anointed, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he worships him. So what did that look like? How did he do that? I don't know. Because you're going to think I'm going to say that. But I think he did it with everything within him. I think he worshipped physically. He would have fallen down prostrate before him. Everything within his being would have just called out and honored him. And that is the call that God is spoken into our lives. Lord, I believe, and because I believe, I worship, which is kind of where I started. Because I believe, I want you, Lord, to be the highest worth in my life. Because I believe, I want you to transform the way that I think, the way that I live. I don't want to live in a closed system that's got you outside of it. I want to live in an open system that acknowledges that you have come, that Christ came, and Christ has sent his Holy Spirit, and that there's nothing, therefore, that's impossible with God. And that has to be the true response to the good news, doesn't it? That has to be the heart of a response that says that you are Lord, and you are God, and you're the beginning and the end. You're the one that starts everything. You're the one that finishes everything. And I want to start and continue and finish this course of life, just keeping my eyes upon you. And that's what I believe it means when he says, Lord, I believe, and I worship you. Yeah, let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came and you've come. The kingdom of God is here. You've broken in, as it were, into our world. It's not history, but it's your story. It's his story. And what you did those 2,000 years ago by coming and entering and taking on flesh, you changed everything. Up until then, every man that died, that lived, died, as it were. But you said that if you believe in you, we wouldn't die in the sense of a separation from God, but we would continue in relationship with you. Up until then, nobody had a kind of clear sense of eternal life. But you said that I have come that you might have life and might have it to the full. Up until then, there was a lack of clarity as to who God really is. But you said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Up until then, Lord, there was fear. But you said the enemy comes to steal, to kill and to destroy, but I've come that you might live. Up until then there was darkness, but you said I've come as light in the world, that he that walks in me shall never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Up until then there wasn't a full and complete truth, but you've said that I have come that you may know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We thank you for this gospel. The heart of the gospel is that you've come. But in a sense, the reality of the gospel is in my heart. Lord, I believe and I worship you. My response to that gospel is giving you the highest place, the highest worth. And Lord, Holy Spirit, we just pray you speak into our hearts today. If we don't know you, we just might be like the blind man that goes and washes in the pool and comes back and says, I don't know what happened. I don't know how he did it. But whereas I was blind, now I see. Whereas before I didn't know Jesus, now I do know him. Whereas before I was debating and considering in a closed system of man's thoughts, now I see clearly that Jesus has come, broken into my world, broken into my heart and life. We just worship you together. We thank you that you've come. We pray that our thinking will be open up to you every day. Do I believe in the Son of Man? Lord, I believe and I worship you. Amen.